It's kind of hard to put a half man-sized hole just arbitrarily in a man, I think.
Well, here's a question. If you put 1,000 holes, the sum of which equal half a man worth of volume, into a man, that's half a man, right?
I mean, yeah, but those are man holes, which now is just a different thing.
I don't even know.
Well, no, because we just said half man, half hole.
What's happening?
Butterscotch shenanigans. Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode number 12 of Coffee with the Butterscotches.
Hey! I waited till you were done.
But then I
wasn't.
That's true.
He did wait.
If you listen to every episode, we realize that Seth interrupts me just every single time I try to
I'm too excited.
You're just excited.
Contain it.
So I'm Sam.
I'm Seth.
I'm Adam.
And we are Butterscotch Shenanigans. We're a three-brother indie studio from St. Louis and also Dallas a little bit, which is Adam's studio.
Footnote.
Mm-hmm. And this is our
Dallas
podcast.
Dallas is a footnote.
Where we do all sorts of fun stuff. Dallas is also being fracked to pieces.
Frack attack.
It's currently a footnote, soon to be a sinkhole.
That's right. Way off the bottom of the page.
So the way we like to do things around here is we give everybody a brief update on what's happening in life. And last time, I just want to clear this up real fast. We left with a cliffhanger of sorts because I was heading off to a PET scan to make sure I don't have the cancers. And it turns out, team, that this is the first PET scan I've had since all of this crap started that was actually completely clear.
Yeah.
Woo!
Fuck yeah.
Golf clap? I don't know how to clap on a microphone.
Everybody pat yourselves in the back. Maybe vomit a little bit in celebration.
Y'all did it.
We did.
It was all
my celebration was an evening of whiskey and chocolate and video games.
Yeah, I just I went and did the world naked bike ride in celebration. That's what I did.
Well, we all
ride your bicycle around the entire world naked,
completely naked. It's great. Yeah. It's a good time.
Sam did that in one weekend, which is pretty impressive. Above
22,000 miles circumference of the planet.
It's pretty chafy though. I've heard
it is chafy. Yeah,
you gotta keep reapplying Vaseline to your bike seat. Keep it lubey. Keep your cheeks lubed.
Well, not too lubey, though.
I mean, no, you got to. It's a tough line to straddle. You got to keep it lubey for moisture, but not so lubey.
Literally tough to straddle, I guess.
It's tough to straddle.
Keep it lubey sounds like one of the best taglines just in the history of things.
Keep it lubey.
We got to make that a thing so that it sticks. Otherwise, it would never stick.
Coffee with butterscotch. Keep it lubey.
That's right.
Keep it lubey.
So, the other thing that happened. About that. This week is...
What else happened, Sam?
Well, Adam wasn't really part of this because, you know, he's in Dallas. But Seth and
that
I got to go be on the radio in St. Louis, which is pretty neat.
Radio.
The actual, like, the airwaves.
Radio.
Okay,
the
to be fair, it was an AM station.
That's true.
Those exist still?
Are still around.
But we did get to go into an actual, like, place where radio is a profession, which was
cool. Cool.
And the room was so soundproof that when we walked in, it made us hush, because it has, like, a natural ambient negative decibel level sort of a situation.
Cool. I wish my house had that.
Yeah, it was
wonderful. Yeah, you just walk in and suddenly you just feel like you've been way too energetic all your life and you need to just take it down a notch.
And everybody's voice sounds so smooth. You're just like, wow, this is great.
Yeah.
How much of this is the room? I don't know.
Yeah, my house just has ambient cat and airplane noises.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, though, cats do a great job of sort of mitigating echoes.
They do. They are fluffy.
Because they catch echoes or
absorb
them.
You know, sound just doesn't reflect off of cats that well.
That's true, actually.
So.
Which is bad if you're that superhero that has to use sound to find things.
Yeah, Daredevil hates cats. He just hates cats.
Yeah, I mean, if you ever see somebody who seems to be a crazy cat person, it's really just they probably have a recording studio in their house and they just needed a cheap way to muffle all the echoes.
Or they have an extreme fear of the Daredevil coming to, you know, take care of
it. Could be.
Or they don't even know the cats are there because they can't hear them.
That's true.
If you put enough cats in a place, it reduces the decibel level below cat.
If you put enough cats in the place, it reduces the number of cats. It's weird.
That's also true.
Super strange. Super strange times. We have a lot of questions to get through today.
Do we?
We do.
Yeah.
Are we just purging the list?
A quick glance here. We have 97 questions.
No, we don't.
To get through.
It seems like a lie. I don't know.
Well, it was a quick glance.
It was a quick glance.
Not an accurate glance, just quick.
Yeah, it looked like 1,000 to me, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I think we wanted to start
off. I'm not Rain Man.
Well, speaking of Rain Man, Adam, actually, we need your we need your statistics skills for this first question from James, which I'm assuming his name is James. I'm just going to go ahead and dox him
right it's
now.
Jay-Z.
Or it's James.
Somehow it's like an M got caught in there.
Or he's a zombie James.
Which, yeah, so, all these are possible. Yeah. But Zombie James / Jay-Z wants to know, how many people have defeated Pete in Pete's Reckoning?
That's Quadrupus Rampage.
Yeah, Quadrupus Rampage.
Quadrupus Rampage.
Is that the Nightmare mode or the Hell mode?
That is the Medium mode, whatever that medium one is. Nightmare.
Nightmare.
That is Nightmare mode.
So this is the sort of second tier of difficulty of defeating Pete.
No, is it? Is Pete Mare? Is Pete Mare?
Pete Mare is Nightmare. Pete's Reckoning is Hell mode.
Pete's Reckoning is the hardest.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Well, does I'm gonna give you all the stats, and so you can judge for yourself. All
right, Rain Man, I'm gonna throw a box of matches on the ground.
Yeah,
and then I'm gonna do statistics on them using R.
Do it.
That seems like cheating.
It does seem a little bit like cheating. All right, so here's what I crunched the numbers this morning when I was having my morning cup of joe, and here's what I found. So first of all, I'm a scientist, so I had to have, you know, nice clean data. So I restricted it to only those players for whom we actually have data, because otherwise that wouldn't even make any sense.
That would be hard to figure out otherwise.
It would be a little tricky. And only those players who we have recorded at least half an hour of gameplay time. So these are people who we know have played the game.
Is this just through B-Scotch ID, or is this anonymous people as well?
This is through B-Scotch ID only.
Okay, so these are only people inside the B-Scotch ID community who we're talking about.
Yeah.
Here. Right.
Okay. Which means I can track down any one of them and tell you exactly their scores.
Adam's like that sort of creepy God's Eye thing from Fast and Furious 7, just so you guys know.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Great movie.
If I had watched that, I would know what you're talking about. But I have no idea what you're talking
about. Well, move on then. Just move on.
So we're just going to... Yeah, we'll just move on. So I restricted it to that set of players, and here is what I found.
What'd you find?
Of those players, 40% of them have defeated regular Pete.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's
which
much higher
is
than
pretty
I thought.
Good, actually. Yeah,
I think isn't like 7% globally.
Yeah, for anybody who's booted up the game.
Yeah. So, but you know, I'm gonna say that somebody who hasn't played for at least half an hour isn't a real player.
That's true. That's not a real person.
Filthy casuals.
Not even a person. Okay. Now I'm going to read some stats, and I'm going to tell you why they're irrelevant. But these are the kind of stats that most people would give you. Okay, so we got 40% have defeated Pete. Now 8% have defeated Pete Mare, which is medium Pete.
Right.
And then 1.2% have defeated Pete's Reckoning.
Wow.
Okay.
Now the reason that those two numbers are irrelevant is because the only people who even got the chance to try to do that are those who defeated the previous Pete. Right.
Right. It's kind
so
of
it doesn't
a funnel.
Really,
it's a funnel
it's kind
situation.
Of a cheat. Yeah, it's a funnel. So it's kind of a cheat to be like, only 1% of players, that sounds really small. And it is, but you know, only 7% of players actually got to try.
So then the question
still,
is, what percent of the players who got to try?
Exactly.
Well,
so
one out of 7 out of 40.
Out of whatever. Which I'm just going to tell you those numbers because that's easier. So players who defeated Pete, of those players, 20% of them have also defeated Pete Mare. Of those players who defeated Pete Mare, 16% of them have also defeated Pete's Reckoning. So that's where we fall.
Well, Jay-Z's question though, Adam, is how many people? What's the quantity?
How many people?
Yeah.
What's the
hard
quantity?
Here's the thing.
I don't know. I have no idea. I believe in statistics being used the right way, which means that I can't extrapolate based on that percentage to the number, because that means we need to find out the fraction of players who aren't in B-Scotch ID, which is most of them.
Wait, but what about people who are in B-Scotch ID? Don't we have a number on that?
I mean, the number of those players. Oh crap! I actually didn't actually put the number there.
So there you go, James.
I don't literally have
don't
that number.
I threw this box of matches on the ground, and now I just have to pick it up, and I don't even know how many matches
there are. I work in percents, man. So,
James, if you wanted to know percentages, there's your answer. If you wanted to know something else, too bad.
That is too bad. I also have a bunch of other stats in terms of like best depths and stuff.
Okay.
If anybody cares about those,
let's do one or two, and then we gotta hit more. We gotta hit more queries.
What would you care about? Do you want the highest, the best? How about let's do best depths?
I want to know that, and I want to know how many enemies have been killed if we have that.
In total, across the globe?
I didn't tell
you.
I mean, I can tell you these things in the background while we're doing other stuff, but this seems like a lot of work.
That does. Screw that.
No, probably.
Maybe for next time.
Just eyeball it. Let's just say 5 billion.
Yeah, roughly 5 billion things have been killed in this game.
Statistics.
Statistically speaking.
That was a quick glance. So,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we got the best, let's see, what do we want to do here? Highest level.
I'm waiting for your voice to go up higher again when you say the best.
The best? The best? The highest level that someone has gotten, the best depth of, you know, down into the world or into the netherworld that people have gone down to is 70 depths is the median.
Okay, median.
90 is the mean because, of course, that gets pulled up by...
Skewed.
By hardcore players.
Right.
The max is 1845.
Wow.
So that's actually 18,450 meters.
Yes, correct. So, which means somebody played 1,800 consecutive levels without dying and having to be resurrected.
So wow. There you go. So now you can kind of, if you've been playing Quadrupus and you've been kind of struggling to get to Pete, you know, you can just now recognize that you just suck. So.
That's right. Fact. That is a fact.
So you can take solace in that.
And the stat I think is really fun is the best insane depth. If we say for only those players who have beat Pete, because those are the only ones who have access to the insane mode, right?
Insane is where if you get hit once, then you die.
You just die.
Oh, yeah. So, what's the best on that?
So the median is 4.
Yeah. I've gotten to 26 on that one.
I think I've gotten to 16 or something like that.
What's the max?
The 99th percentile is 35.
Wow.
And the max is 51.
Wow. 51. So somebody went 51 depths down
without getting hit by anything.
A single thing.
Yeah.
Impressive. I think the bubble works though, right? You can still.
Yeah, the bubble still works. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can be healed by whoever the fuck.
Well, you can't. It doesn't matter if you get healed because you can't take damage.
Oh yeah. So that is a fact.
Yeah, that is my favorite game mode in Quadrupus.
It's so hardcore.
It is very hardcore.
Okay, well let's pop on to the next question. Enough of these match counting games.
Mm-hmm.
From Lucky Strike Guy 2. I don't know who knows what happened to the first one.
I think he ate the first one.
He may have to gain power. When I heard Strike Zelda powers. And Crashlands in the same sentence, life became meaningful. So whether it be puzzle elements like block pushing or pressure switches, keys. Anything?
Question mark, question mark, question mark.
I mean, there will be things.
There will be anything.
Yeah, I guarantee there will be, there'll be things.
At least one thing.
Yeah, definitely. So those kinds of things are currently not in-game, but I won't say that they won't be. That's all. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. But with the campaign creator, because you can have those, you know, those stage-changing processes in the outposts that you make, you can kind of fake some of that stuff. So we won't actually have, like, at least currently we don't have specific puzzle element things, but you could fake it, yeah. Probably.
But again, we won't say that there won't be puzzle elements either.
Can I say that? I want to say that there won't be puzzle elements.
You can say that,
but it might be
a
lie.
Do you mean it?
I don't know if I mean it.
Yeah, we don't know yet. I guess Lucky Strike Guy, you'll just have to buy the game at launch and see for yourself.
It's in there.
It's the only way to know.
It's pre-orders. Kind of,
Pre-orders
are available at crashlands.net. And right. Let's move on to Guy Cox's.
Yeah, and if you pre-order the game, then you'll also know when the game is launched.
Yeah.
So if you need some incentive for pre-ordering, then that, I think, ought to
also,
be
if you don't pre-order it, but you listen to the podcast, you probably know.
Yeah,
you
but
know?
You should still you should still pre-order.
Just for clarity.
Just for good measure.
Okay, so Guy Cox, or Jacot, or maybe...
Jai Shaw.
Yeah. Asks the question, pouring yourself into Crashlands is slicing off a piece of your soul that can sit on a pedestal for millenniums, and hyperhumans can appreciate it in 4312 AD. We're not to the actual question part of this question yet, but...
It's a good setup.
I'd like to know what a hyperhuman is.
Well, if we plot our trajectory of sugar consumption...
Oh, so they're like these like whale-sized humans, I guess?
Yeah, and they're pretty... They got a lot of energy.
They're actually water-based. Humans are probably going to move back into the ocean because of the size increase that we're experiencing.
Right. We won't be able to support our own way. Unless we do like a Dune style where the House Harkonnen guy has levitating suspender things because he's so obese he can't actually stand up.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be like. That's a hyperhuman.
Yeah. Actually, I just I watched WALL-E on Friday.
Oh yeah, those were hyperhumans.
Yeah, they were hyperhumans. Yeah. So I don't know if we want to give those people more games to play. Maybe they need to go outside.
Definitely.
You know. So hopefully this is on a pedestal in a museum that nobody goes to anymore because they can't fit through the door.
Yeah, or hopefully it's only in a museum so they have to walk physically over to it.
They don't need to go to the museum. I mean, well, for starters, everyone will be dead because robots. But also...
Wait, because robots will kill them?
Will robots
Robots will just make people obsolete. And then people will be like, I guess I'll just die now.
No, oh, okay. That sounds like what people would do.
But also, if Crashlands goes into a museum, it'll probably be a virtual museum. Because nobody's going to be getting off their asses to do anything in 4312 AD.
The question I have is, do we get to go through this virtual museum with an Oculus Rift strapped to our face and in one of those treadmill things that makes
the
you
Omni tread thing?
The Omni direct, yeah.
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 Making lots of noise.
The future doesn't look super
bright.
No,
what you do is you strap the Oculus to your robot's head and put your robot in the treadmill and make it go to the museum for you.
Right. Right. That is what happens.
And then it just comes back and tells you how the experience was.
That's the day that I want to see where we're so advanced that we
automate our leisure time.
We automate our leisure time. So we have our robots do our leisure for us and we just watch them do it.
Well, I mean, I already do that with books. I just have Sam read books and then he tells me what's in them. So.
Well, and everybody does that with YouTube now for video games and stuff, where you just watch Let's Players play your
games.
Yeah,
I mean, we're really in it. We're automating our fun and leisure.
We're going to outsource everything except for that uniquely human ability to be really sort of confused with an inner sense of purposelessness. I think that'll be the only thing left over at the end of the day.
It's going to be really powerful, though, at the end.
We're really going to hone in on that aspect of our humanity.
Yeah, that is true.
To Geico's actually question.
Oh, yeah, what's the question?
Besides have fun, what else are you saying through Crashlands that you want to last forever?
Well, that's kind of presumptuous. I mean, who are we to say what future generations are supposed to glean from our beautiful artistic expressions?
Yeah, it's like poetry. You know, it doesn't actually have an intended meaning. You just let somebody else derive their own meaning from it.
Let the future decide.
It's like even if there is an intended meaning, there's no way to decipher the random intended meaning from, you know, poetry and art and stuff. It's just whatever you want.
I think it'll be cool though, because people will in the future will be able to look back on the games of the present and kind of see interesting things about our culture, you know, and who we were as people. As a people. Stuff
a
like
people?
That.
Is that like not people?
It's like a...
Are these kind of like the opposite of a hyperhuman?
It's a Fonzie.
A people.
A people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fonzie's version.
Sort of like how when we find a clay pot and we're like, they must have like carved the boobs on this clay pot because it's a fertility goddess or something.
Yeah, they'll find crash lands and they'll be like, what?
They'll see the bacon weed fairy and they'll be like,
that's a fertility goddess.
This must be a fertility goddess.
It's all, everything is a fertility goddess.
Yeah.
This game's a fertility goddess. Also, it runs, it's draining my battery life, they'll say, because that's a problem still in 4 days.
Batteries are still going to be shitty.
Because fucking batteries. What is the deal with batteries?
Well, no, it's not the batteries that's the problem. It's that everybody wants a phone that's as thin as a sheet of paper, and then they complain about the fact that it doesn't have a long battery. I mean, my phone is the size of a Buick. And this battery lasts for 7 years.
It's that is true.
You gotta make decisions about your priorities.
Speaking of prioritizing decisions, Seth,
mm-hmm.
The next question is about picking, you know, making a decision about what a particular flavor would be.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this.
A flavor of what?
This comes from Fweebers, who is hilarious, and who asks, when Butterscotch Shenanigans becomes famous and Ben & Jerry's makes a flavor called Butterscotch Shenanigans, what will be the ice cream flavor and the ingredients?
All right. So I've been thinking this one over.
Okay, what do you got?
And if we had an ice cream flavor called Butterscotch Shenanigans, you would open it up, it would just be plain vanilla.
Okay. So I guess that's the shenanigans?
Yeah. You'd be like, oh.
So there's not
I
even
thought it was going to be butterscotch, but really it was just shenanigans. That's just what happened.
But I think if it were the case that it looked like that, but then if you
So it looked like vanilla, but then it...
Oh, yeah.
Something else
But
happened.
Then it actually tasted like butterscotch.
But then even better would be you'd get like a quarter of an inch down, and then it would just be a layer of butterscotch hard candies.
Even then, better than that.
But only
if you then
super...
got another layer down, and it was just scotch.
Yes. And then... It's actually a bottle of scotch.
And at the very bottom, it's just crust Pop Rocks.
With a slight crust of ice cream on top.
Yeah, Pop Rocks at the bottom.
Pop Rocks.
Awesome.
Ooh, and... In
this
addition,
is sounding horrible.
In addition, we're gonna put a layer of Mentos above a frozen layer of Coke,
so that if you
let it thaw, then you're gonna have an exploding ice cream.
Wait,
also, the Pop Rocks will be in there too.
What happens when you put Pop Rocks in scotch?
I don't have any Pop Rocks, otherwise I would try it right now.
I bet it's like a Mentos Diet Coke scenario, but way more explosive.
What? Yeah, what is actually in Pop Rocks?
I don't know. I don't know how Pop Rock work. Nobody knows how Pop Rocks work.
How do Pop Rock?
Witchcraft.
I think the next layer after the Mentos Coca-Cola frozen layer would be the crust of the earth. And then below that, we'd have a lizard people village. So every pint of butterscotch shenanigans is actually a teleportation device to
Ooh,
a lizard village.
Oh my god! Yes.
So it's like that wardrobe in Narnia Chronicles.
Yeah, you have to eat through the ice cream so that you can go to a magical place.
Well, I think really
which is what happens when you eat ice cream anyway.
The true test is that you have to drink a glass of scotch filled with Pop Rocks, which is a pretty tough thing to do.
While probably being sprayed in the face by a Mentos explosion.
If you could get past all that.
If you pass our riddles 3, you can pass.
You get to go through the portal.
To the lizard people.
But of course, the cruel irony of it all is that this is a tiny little cup of ice cream, and there's no fucking way you're going to fit through that.
You can maybe...
You can reach your hand through if you have a small enough hand and shake the hand of
you
a lizard.
You can basically
person.
High-five a lizard man, but that's...
But how cool would that be if you got to finish your ice cream? You just shove your hand through the thing. It disappears as far as everyone else can tell. But behind the scenes, you know, in that invisible other world, you're high-fiving lizard people.
Yeah. Now, this is, of course, really disruptive to the society of the lizard people who
is
are just trying
hands?
To, just trying hands to go about their day. These hands keep emerging from the netherworld to high-five them.
Someone keeps screaming
from the sky.
Basically,
it'll probably collapse the lizard economy.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it would just become a new religion to them, or the, you know, something about worshiping the hand people.
Maybe if they're industrious, they could build little mechanical hands that allow them to generate power from hands.
Did you know though that if you only go like 7 miles down, it's something like 500 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah, it gets really toasty.
Did you know that if you go like 5 miles up, it's well below freezing?
Yeah.
So like, there's this little skinny region where we get to be alive.
Basically, if you're scrawny. A person and you go anywhere but where you are, you die.
Yeah. I think it was Neil deGrasse Tyson that was making fun of somebody who said how like perfect we are as humans and so on. Because he's like, if you were to drop a naked person anywhere on the planet, they would die.
Just randomly,
by chance, right?
Well, I mean, how high are you dropping them from, Adam? It's just irresponsible.
if you dropped a person from 30,000 feet anywhere on the planet,
they just die. It's proof. They're terribly weak.
Yeah. But even if you were to gently lay them down anywhere on the planet, on average...
What kind of music are we playing while we're gently laying them down?
I mean, obviously some good 70s porno music.
Smooth jazz.
I slowed it down. I slowed it down.
All right.
Made it.
Slow down.
I was going to say
slow
walk
down
like
any
an Egyptian.
70s music. Walk like
That's not what that was.
That was not what that was.
That was that Brick House song. I think that's what that was, wasn't it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know what I'm singing. Brains are weird. Okay, we're going to move on because that was about ice cream. And
we've got 94 other questions to go.
At least.
This one's from Mad Hat, who asks, what are you doing for vacation? Do you even take time for vacation? Or is all your energy going towards Crashlands? I'm so hyped for Crashlands. BTW.
So I think he's saying that we should not take vacation.
That's what it kind of sounds like.
Yeah, that's kind of a little
subtext.
Casual offhanded remark at the end there.
Yeah.
So you guys ever take breaks? By the way, I'd be super disappointed if you did. Throwing that out there, but let me know.
I'm going camping this weekend, maybe.
Yeah, actually, August is going to be a pretty big. We have a family reunion.
Next weekend, 2 weekends. Yeah.
Two weekends from now, we got. My 10-year high school reunion is 2 days before that, so that's kind of a weird coincidence. Then I'm heading over to northern Wisconsin for a few days for a sort of a camping outing, and then at the first week of September, my wife and I are going hiking in Colorado. I'm just hitting all my vacation action from the past 5 years just all at once.
All right before we try to launch Crashlands.
What could go wrong? Nothing.
Because once Crashlands launches, my life is over. It's just gonna be a nightmare of bugs and patching.
That is true for a solid probably 2 months, I think.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna be taking a vacation to the hospital for the month of August.
Not exactly a vacation, Sam. I don't know if you know what that word means.
Well, it's a break from stuff.
It's a break from stuff you want to be doing. And instead, you get to be sick.
Yeah, that's what I'll be doing.
So it's a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah. It's pretty sweet.
It's a sweet gig, for sure.
I think that's all we have for vacation stuff.
I don't have any of them.
Yeah, but we tend to work on weekends quite a bit. And, I mean, we put
evenings,
in some hours.
Evenings, mornings.
We're making cool stuff, so it's
pretty
fun,
much all the time.
It's a good time. Let's move on to the next question. Thypen asks, what languages did you use? Thypen.
Is that like an EpiPen?
Probably. That's where you usually stab it, right?
It might be thy pen.
Thy pen. Ooh, that makes more sense. Mm. Except that the P should have been capitalized. Should have camel cased it.
Mm. Mm. Instead, he horse cased it.
Horse cased it. Or worm cased it.
Yeah.
I think worm case would be if there's no capitals.
Exactly. Wait, is that not what he did?
No, there's capital T. Thy pen. He horse
case. So it's like
that's horse case. If I've ever seen horse case, that's horse case.
Come on. What languages did you use to code most of Crashlands?
Most of it.
All of it.
Yeah, all of it's done in GameMaker. GML.
Well, no, that's not Gimbal. Entirely.
There are a couple Python.
Yeah,
tools.
Has support scripts or it has support things.
Yeah, there's a couple little external things that Adam and I have put together.
Yeah, like the campaign creator,
some small things, entire web tools using 6 different languages.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's mostly GameMaker language.
Yeah, the game itself is all GML.
GameMaker language,
which is like C or C++. It's like a hybrid of those two things.
Yeah, and we've talked to people who were like, I don't want to learn how to use GameMaker because it seems really restrictive. Well, that's just dumb. So you can do whatever you want.
Yeah. If you think that, you're
go
wrong.
Home.
Get out of here, you scamp.
Okay, Ulmer Vern asks the next question. Do you already have plans for post-Crashlands and post-Narwhal Online? Do we?
Do we even have Narwhal on? Actually,
I mean,
the truth is we have like a million things that we have ideas about doing. We have a few prototypes, including Narwhal Online. Oh, that's super prototype. But some other things that are well along the way of being done.
And we're kind of like a bacteria.
Yeah.
We just have a random vague sense of direction, and
it's a random walk. Right. Yeah. Right now we're mostly trying to get through Crashlands because we just need to get that thing out the door.
Which, by the way, if you want to learn more about how bacteria move, you should play our game Culture Wars.
Is it Culture Wars on both platforms? It's on mobile. It's called Bacterium on one of them, I think.
It's Bacterium on Amazon. That's the original version.
Yeah, okay. That one doesn't even count.
We don't talk about that.
Yeah.
So we'll edit that
out. But Bacterium, the game, is based on real science because we flew in an expert in biological sciences to consult on how bacteria work.
Which was
and by
Adam.
Flu, you mean Skype, and by yeah. expert, you mean yourself.
That is exactly what I meant.
Yeah. But yeah, check that out. It's cool.
Yeah. It's good. It's a good one. We're not super sure what we're going to be doing. We want to do a lot of things. So we got to wait and see how Crashlands kind of does if it's the grand entrance we hope for, and then we'll see.
Yeah. I guess, but we know what we think is what's going to happen, right? Is that we think we're going to be trying to get Quadrupus Rampage on Steam. And we think we're going to actually finish Sloth Cycling.
And we think we're going to add a two-player co-op mode to Quadrupus.
Yes, which is the first time that that's been said in public, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Take that. Put that in your hat.
That's not a promise or a threat. It's just a thing we want to try. So, you know, don't count on it.
If it's good, we'll ship it.
Next question is from Kevin888 or Kevin888. Maybe those are bees.
Kevin888?
Is that, eight the word or eight the number?
The number.
Actually, I think it's six.
Which
O's.
Ones of those are the number? Are
I think
all
he
numbers?
Just stacked the O's on top of each other.
It's
Kevin Million. Kevin Million asks, how is cross-platformness, I assume he means cross-platforminess.
Yeah, cross-platformness is not a word.
That's a common misconception. Going to work if Crashlands is pay up front. Will you have to buy it on both mobile and Steam to transfer saves? The answer is yes, Kevin. You in particular.
Yeah, or you're you
actually only Kevin Million.
Kevin's going to have to buy it like 7 times before we allow him to transfer.
Kevin has to own it 3 times just on Steam in order to transfer his save.
You do have to buy it on both, on whatever platforms you're going to play it on, because we're not so cool that Google or Apple or Steam want to play ball as far as handling sort of people playing on their platform without us paying them for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and I think you just have to think about it from the perspective of those stores. Like if somebody buys the game on iTunes and they also have an Android device, Google doesn't care that you paid Apple to play it on your iPad.
In fact, they probably care in the opposite.
They're probably
direction.
Not happy about that, and
they would prefer to charge you more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're not allowed to basically have you give Apple money so that you don't have to give Google money.
And to take it back a step, the reason is because we have to give 30% of all the money we make to those app stores.
Yeah, so they have to take their cut.
Yeah.
So we can't take that away from them or else we will be booted from the store.
Yeah, so if you see a cross-buy stuff, usually you'll see that. I've seen a few games do that within like the Sony ecosystem with PlayStation and Vita, for example. Right.
It's the same company. Yeah. So
like they're like, oh, we already got our cut, whatever. And that, of course, increases value to the player, which would be awesome if we could actually do that, but we can't.
I mean, there are some sort of, edge cases, like kind of gray area things like in Hearthstone, since you buy card decks and stuff, but that game is cross-platform. Even though you can buy the decks in any platform, you can use them on all of them.
Well, and here's why that's allowed. It's because because card packs are consumable.
Right.
So buying a card pack on PC does not keep you from buying more card packs on iTunes. In fact, it probably means you're more likely to buy card packs on iTunes at some point.
Right.
But if you just bought a full game on one platform and then you just had it everywhere, then suddenly nobody else gets their cut.
Yeah.
So,
but that is why we made it so that Crashlands is cheap. It is so cheap. It's only $15 on Steam anyway. And then a measly $5 on mobile.
We're practically paying you guys
to play it. So
that's pretty sure that's how the math works out.
Yeah, I think so. This whole thing is going to be a futile exercise, I guess.
Yeah, we're going to go broke.
We'll see what happens. If it doesn't happen. Moving on to the next question. Let's get away from being broke. Racing for the Finish asks, when you record the super fantastic awesomeness that is Coffee with Butterscotch, is it done all in one take? And is the intro funny snippet planned?
Those were two questions. Hold on.
It is done all in one take.
Yes. And no are the two answers.
We don't plan the funniness. We just are, usually we're chatting while we're getting stuff set up in the beginning, and there's, you know, plenty of swears and other strange conversation going on. So I just take a little, you know, cut from that pre-conversation.
Take a little nibble.
A little nibble out of that and then tack it on to the front.
And then vomit it onto the front. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that snippet from the beginning is just us chilling, doing our normal stuff.
So if anything, that's probably more indicative of what it is to work in the environment that we're in than anything else.
Mostly weird noises.
Lots of strange happenings. Yes.
Random snippets of songs.
You know what, though? So this is something. So I didn't realize that most people don't just make weird noises all the time.
Yeah, all of us scream a lot.
And
I think our spouses have adapted also. So I think
They just don't know. They're unfazed. But it didn't occur to me until at one point it was pointed out to me by my lovely wife that most people actually don't do that. And I thought, how boring is that?
Did I tell you about...
You just sit there quietly and...
When I realized that was a thing that I was doing because I walked by someone in the hallway of my dorm and I made a sound effect. I go, whoosh, as I went by. And this is a person I happen to know a little bit. And so they're like, did you just sound effect that walking? And I was like, yes.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, we need a soundtrack in our daily lives. We need sound effects. It's kind of like, it's one of my favorite scenes in The Emperor's New Groove. When Kronk.
Oh, yeah, when he's sneaking out of the...
He's sneaking out of the place. And he, like, backs up against the wall, and he's, you know, humming a sort of spy song to himself.
Yeah.
So, he, like, he's just making his own theme song as he goes along his thievery ways.
Yeah, but I just have to say, I mean, if you... So, like, even if I'm doing something as mundane as washing dishes or something, if you add, like, explosion sounds to putting the dishes into the drying rack or something, just, like, everything is more amazing.
Yeah. You know?
So put add
you
some,
need juice in your life.
Yeah, like, add some sound effects to your life with your face, and it just makes everything awesome.
It's great.
Not by putting your face against things with high velocity.
But you could also do that.
It would just be a concussion.
Use a helmet.
Noise.
Yeah.
Well, depends on how hard you put your face against it up front.
That's true.
I think if you put it against it hard enough to make a noise,
that was probably too hard.
It's probably you know what I'm saying? It's probably too hard.
I think that's fair.
Well, so let's not pass judgment.
Use your floppy mouth parts, not your head.
Yeah.
That's the rule.
That's fair.
Put that on a t-shirt
along with the... what was it? Keep it luby.
Keep it luby. Use your floppy mouth parts, not your head.
And with that, I think we'll wrap up this episode of Coffee with Butterscotch. We burned through a bunch of questions today, had a good time. If you guys haven't checked out Crashlands yet for some reason, crashlands.net is where all the cool stuff is. Come ask some more questions on the podcast page, which you can get to through butterscotch-shenanigans.com. And otherwise,
or
just
now we even
out.
Have a shortcut URL. You can go to podcast.bscotch.net.
Or coffeewithbutterscotch.com.
That's right.
Boom.
There's so many ways to get
Look
there.
Look at that.
Remember just one of them.
You'll basically end up there on accident.
We're buying the internet over here so that it's easier for everybody.
Yeah. Now when you go to Google, you just actually end up on our podcast page.
Boom.
Yeah, that cost us a bit of cash.
It was a little expensive.
But it'll probably pay off in the long term.
Somehow that'll be worth it.
All right. Thank you guys for listening, and we will talk to you next Wednesday.
Peace.